Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
Praise the Lord. Well, I got to tell you, I am excited. Anybody else excited? You say, yes, what are we excited about? We're excited about everything. I don't know about you, I'm excited. I'm excited to have breath in my lungs. Anybody excited to be alive? How many of you woke up this morning and said, thank God? How many of you woke up this morning beside your spouse and said, thank God? Moving right along. Praise God. Thank God for my wife. I do. She's not here. She's in the north. She was here, eh? How'd she do? Did good. Well, I got a lot to live up to now, haven't I? All right, she did good. Praise God. I've got to tell you, I'm so excited. I'm excited about the now. I'm excited about tomorrow. I'm excited about 2020. I'm excited about all that God has done, all that God is doing, and all that God is going to do. I am just absolutely excited. I'm so thankful for this amazing church and the amazing ride that we have had. I've got to tell you, it has been incredible. How many of you have been here more than 5 years? Give me a wave if you've been more than 5 years. Have a look at all you beautiful people. How many of you have been here for more than 10 years? Give me a wave if that's you. All right. How many of you have been here for more than 15 years? Getting fewer. It's a bit like some of our hair around here. It's getting thin. How many of you have been here more than 18 years? Praise God. More than 19 years? 20 years? 21 years? That's you guys in the front row. That's it. Praise God. Brian's up the back. I see that hand, Brian. Praise God. Your hair has gone from that end to that end, but it's still working for you, bro. Praise God. It's all good. It's all good. 21 years. You know what I've noticed after 21 years? I can say to you, this is the honest truth. We had our AGM three weeks ago. For the last 21 years, we have experienced continual growth. 21 years in a row. Are there any business owners in the house? Give me a wave. You're a business owner, part of a business. How many of you would like 21 years of consistent growth? Anybody, everybody understands. All right, so you may not be a business owner. How many of you are in business or have got a life? Give me a wave if you've got a life. How many of you would want your life to grow for 21 years in a row? Praise God. Enjoy Church. You are a miracle. For the last 21 years, it doesn't matter what we're looking at, for the last 21 years, we have seen from our attendances to our balance sheets to our locations and our teams, we have seen continual growth at Enjoy Church. How many of you know you are a miracle? You are a miracle. Why don't you give God some praise? You should be excited about this because this is unbelievable. You are part of something incredible. As in, I was speaking with someone, I think it was yesterday again as well, and they said, Pastor Shane, we used to think that every church was like Enjoy Church because this was the only church we'd experienced. We thought they were all happy, they were all enthusiastic, they were all encouraging, but then we've been to some and we realize that's not necessarily so. You are a miracle. You are something special and you are special in the eyes of God. 21 years of growth. That's why I'm excited, because I'm thinking, Lord, if you've been faithful in our past, you'll be faithful in our future. If you've been good to us, you will be good to us. Lord, who you are is who you are. You do not change like we change, but Lord, you are always the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, you are going to be the same for us. Now, as we prepare ourselves for 2020, this is what I'm praying for each and every one of you. I am praying that what is on this house would come upon your house. I am praying what is on us would come upon you. I pray that our strength would be your strength and our joy would be your joy. I am praying that the blessing and the favor of God that has been on Enjoy, if you are planted on Enjoy, may it be yours in Jesus' name. But the reality is this. For most of us here today, tomorrow's successes will be based on today's decisions. That's the reality. Tomorrow's successes are based on today's decisions. So my question to you is simply this. What will you decide? What church will you decide? I was reading again this week and I was intrigued by the goodness of God and the foolishness of man and wondered what lesson we might all be able to take into 2020. 1 Kings chapter 6 tells the story of Solomon building the temple and what an amazing temple it was. I love sometimes when you're reading those passages, and I know many of you get bored with them, and I get it, where it's going through the detail, 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 and it's explaining what King Solomon's or the temple looked like. It explains every room, the height, the dimension, the gold, the silver, and everything, the bronze, wherever it all went. I'll read this passage, 1 Kings chapter 6, and it speaks of Solomon building the temple. Praise the Lord. And it was incredible. That was like the angels just floated through. It's like the angels filled the temple. All right. So King Solomon builds the temple of the Lord in 1 Kings chapter 6. 1 Kings chapter 7 tells the story of Solomon building his palace. All right. What came first? The Lord's temple or Solomon's palace? The Lord's temple. We see that Solomon built the temple for the Lord, and then in 1 Kings chapter 7, he goes about building his own palace. Now, we could spend a whole sermon just talking about the order of things. Many of us don't see what we want to see in our life because we don't have things in the right order. But when you put God first, how many of you know, you build God's house, God's going to help you to build your house. That's how it works. But that's another sermon. I'll leave that for next year. All right. In 1 Kings chapter 8, the ark, which represents the presence of God, is brought into the temple. Brought into the temple. So the presence of God is now filling the temple. So everything is good. Everything is in its place, and God's favor is resting upon us. This is where Solomon found himself. He built the Lord's house. He built his own house. The Spirit and the presence of God filled the temple. Everything was good. That's where we find ourselves. Praise God. Everything is good. We're in a happy place. 1 Kings chapter 9. God restates his promise to Solomon, the one that he had made to David, but also warns Solomon what will happen if they turn back on God and his ways. Got to hear this, church. Bringing good news today. The reality is many of you may not see it initially as good news because it comes with a warning, but we need to heed the warnings of God. How many of you know if you're driving down the road and the orange light starts flashing and you go through it, maybe when it's orange, maybe when it's red, there's a good chance it's not going to be good. The outcome isn't going to be good. When we see the warning, the flashing of God saying, heed this, you need to be aware of this, then we need to open up our eyes and our heart to what it is that God would speak to us and realize he's doing and he's speaking for our own good. 1 Kings chapter 9, reading from verse 4, says, as for you, if you will follow me with integrity and godliness, as David your father did, always obeying my commands and keeping my laws and regulations, then I will establish the throne of your dynasty over Israel forever. For I made this promise to your father David, you will never fail to have a successor on the throne of Israel. But, how many of you, no, but, you got to see the buts. I know that doesn't quite sound right, but you know what I'm saying. You got to see the buts in the Bible. We all want to read the first part. We get to the but, then we tune out. Don't tune out. Because when you tune out, it's like when you're driving down the road, you tune out, you go through the red light. Then on the other side, if you get to the other side, it's probably not going to be good. Chances are you won't get to the other side because you're going to get taken out. But if you or your descendants abandon me and disobey my commands and laws, and if you go and worship other gods, then I will uproot the people of Israel from this land I have given them. I will reject this temple. Now, understand, this was to Solomon and his house, but in some ways it's to us and our house as well. Let's not be thinking this doesn't apply to us. It all applies to us. All right. And if you go and worship other gods, then I will uproot the people of Israel from this land I have given them. I will reject this temple that I have set apart to honor my name. I will make Israel an object of mockery and ridicule among the nations. And though this temple is impressive now, it will become an appalling sight for all who pass by. They will scoff. They will scoff and ask, why did the Lord do such terrible things to this land and to his temple? And so now we know. Now we know there is great promise in the Word of God, but there are great warnings in the Word of God. There is great promise for you and your family. There's great promise for Enjoy and this house. But I got to tell you, church, as we get ready for the greatest year of our life, and I want to encourage you, this is going to be the greatest year, but as we get ready for it, we need to heed the warnings of God. We need to heed the Word of God. We need to take it seriously, because whether we like it or not, it is the Word. And it proves it's always true. It never fails. This is a reality. Then in 1 Kings chapter 10, the Queen of Sheba. Everyone say Sheba. I like that name. The Queen of Sheba was amazed at the wisdom of Solomon, which takes us all the way to 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1. All right, are you ready to go here? All right, so we have seen what God has done through a man and a family. We have seen the incredible wonder and splendor of his glory as it's outworked through a man. A man builds a temple for the Lord. A man builds a house for the Lord. A man has a temple in his house filled with the presence of God. All the world is saying, wow, have a look at this place. It is incredible. It is absolutely amazing. In 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1, now King Solomon loved many foreign women. Full stop. All right. How many of you know we have an issue? If you're a foreign woman, understand, it is not the foreign woman that's the issue, it's the many that's the issue. It's the many that is the issue. Now, King Solomon loved many foreign women besides Pharaoh's daughter. He married women from Moab, Ammon, Edom, Sidon, St. Albans, Bentley, Yarrawonga, and from among the Hittites and the Vegemites. The Lord had clearly, listen to this, the Lord had clearly instructed his people not to intermarry with those nations. No. Look at me, says the Lord. Don't go doing this. Don't do this. The Lord had clearly instructed his people, do not intermarry with those nations, because the women they married would lead them to worship their gods. Yet Solomon insisted on loving them anyway. He turned a deaf ear to the Word of God because he liked the ooh la la. He's like, I like it, the ooh la la. So I'm going to turn my ear to the Word of the Lord. It's not that I didn't hear the Word of the Lord, but I'm turning my ear from the Word of the Lord. So he insisted on loving them anyway. He had 700 wives. I would really like to comment. I know you want me to. But I'm going to let you see something which is rare. It's called self-control. Yes, you just saw it. But the good news is this. I still have 300 concubines to go after here. So while I may be restrained in regard to 700 wives, 300 concubines, how many of you know this guy is out of control? And sure enough, says the Word of God, and sure enough, I like the simplicity of the Word of God. And sure enough, it sounds like we could be talking to this guy in Caroline Springs. And sure enough, they led his heart away from the Lord. And sure enough, And in the chapters that we see follow, we see the Lord is true to his word and removes the leadership favor and grace from Solomon's life. Now, the greatest tragedy of all of this is simply this. It did not need to happen this way. It was not the plan of God or the purpose of God for it to happen this way. God wanted to raise a man up that he might bless him and might bless his family. But the man chose the wrong way. He went the wrong way. He did the wrong thing. And as a result, the Lord removed, even as he said he would, the blessing and the favor that was upon Solomon's life. How many of you know this was never the plan of God? The Lord's plan is always that we go from strength to strength, from glory to glory, that we would have 21 years in a row of favor upon favor upon favor upon favor upon favor upon favor. That is the will of God. That is the plan of God. That is the purpose of God. That is the heart of God for each and every one of us, that we would enjoy the blessing of God. But I got to tell you, when I read this passage this week, so I sat down, I just pouring through 1 Kings in one sitting, and I was like, it just became so obvious. And once again, I just realized the craftiness of our enemy. How many of you know the enemy is crafty? He's been doing this for a long time. Some of us think that, no. Is it true or is it not true? He's so crafty that he has the ability to cause some of us to think that we're somehow special. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Some of us think that we are somehow special. And meaning that we can read the Word of God, not heed the Word of God, but the Word of God is not going to become a reality in our life. Some of us tend to think that we can play with fire and we're not going to get burnt. Some of us think when it says don't, it means here's a suggestion, work it out as you will. How many of you know that is not the heart of God? The Word of God is the Word of God, and the Word of God is true. And when it tells us not to, it means not to. When it says don't, it means don't. When it says be careful, it means be careful. And when we choose not to, we're just going straight through the red light. We are going through the red light. Friends, I want to encourage you today. I really do want to encourage you today, because the reality is this. The Word of God is so clear. And we need to yield to the Word of God. When the Word of God is speaking to us, we need to yield to it. We need to make ourselves subject to it. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, be careful. Be careful. Watch out for the attacks from the devil. The devil, your great enemy. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for some victim to devour. I wish I could fight the devil that looked like a devil. Most of the time when I'm fighting the devil, he doesn't look like a devil. How many of you have noticed that? Yeah. How many of you know Samson and Delilah? I'd imagine Delilah. She probably didn't look like a devil. You know what I'm saying? Because if it was a devil, I'd reckon he would have pulled out a sword and chopped her head off. Might have been a good start. You know what I'm saying? It's like, but how many of you know he didn't do that? Why didn't he do that? Because when he saw Delilah, he's like, Delilah. And it messed with his head. He would have, he just went, how many of you have read the story recently about Samson and Delilah? Do you wonder? Like, is this guy the thickest guy on planet Earth? You got to ask a question. If you read it in one sitting and just ask yourself, what is wrong with this man? It's like he gets set up, and he doesn't realize it. And in the end, it all goes downhill. I just wish we could fight the devil that looked like a devil. I wish the devil didn't look nice. I wish the devil looked like long. You know what I'm saying? Typically, that's not what the devil looks like. Devil. Is that right? I reckon you probably, yes, praise God. I reckon you probably have seen him in your dreams. So here's the thing. So, and he is ugly. I agree. Ugly. But we don't typically see him that way, do we? We see him looking nice, smelling nice, tasting nice. But he ain't nice. He's going to leave you in ruin. He's going to leave you. We play with fire. Can I encourage you as we get ready for the greatest year of our life? Do not play with fire. Just don't go there. Don't go there. Reminds me of what the Lord said to Cain. Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. If you do what is right, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. You've got to master it. Now, here's the thing. Sin is crouching at all of our doors. None of us are exempt from this. I wish I could have a car that was like, get away from sin free. You know what I mean? But none of us have got that car. This is not Monopoly. This is life. And we are playing with eternity. We're playing for eternity. We're playing to be in the presence of God or separated from God. Friends, I want to encourage you today. Your decisions today will not just be a blessing to you, but to you and your family as well, and the generations that come after you. That's why it's so important that we actually make a decision. We don't just stroll through life and say, que sera, sera, Doris Day, be quiet now. Had enough of Doris Day. We need to turn our eyes towards Jesus and make some decisions. So sin is crouching at all of our doors, but we've got to master it. as we prepare for 2020, a year of favor and blessing in our Father's house and in our homes and in our families, the families that we represent, we must understand that sin is always crouching at the door. Always crouching at the door. And we must decide that we are going to master it and not be mastered by it. Not be mastered by it. Solomon's weakness was foreign women. My weakness is foreign cars. Yours might be the internet. Just went quiet. Yours might be the internet. Reality is, I love the era in which we live, but I got to tell you, in some ways it was easier 30, 40 years ago. Now everything is right there. Once upon a time, Mick was telling me he had to go looking for it, but now it's all there. Oh, sorry. That was confidential. We talk about it because we're guys and we work with guys. We deal with guys. The reality is everything is on the internet. You don't need to go looking for it. It comes looking for you. Some of you, the best thing you can do is actually drown your Apple iPhone. Just take it home and put it in the toilet and flush it away. Go buy a Nokia 3210. In the beginning, God created Nokia 3210. All it had was numbers. Fancy that in a telephone. Some of you, the best thing you can do is lose your phone. Lose your phone. Make a decision. I got to lose your phone. So Solomon had an issue with foreign women. I got an issue with foreign cars. Mick's got, no, not Mick. Just so you know, he doesn't. He's cool. I love this man, and he's a man of integrity, yada, yada. You don't need me to say that, but I'm saying it anyway. Some of you got an issue with the internet. You got to deal with it. Now, as I say that, understand this. I'm not talking to the men. I'm talking to the girls as well as the men. You say, why would you talk to the girls as well as men? Because the reality is these days, women have as much issue with pornography as men. Now, there you go, girls. You write that. Pastor Shane said, it's a truth. You say, how do you figure that? Because we deal with it on a daily basis. It's reality. Look at the statistics. It's all there for you. Let's not be Christians that walk around with our head in the sand. Let's be real. We've got to deal with our stuff. Some of you got an issue with gossip. Gossip. Can I encourage you? If you've got an issue with gossip, you might be like, well, I'm not like those people that got an issue with internet. As in, you blah, 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 blah. You need to be quiet. You need to zip your lip. You don't think God's not offended by that? I tell you the truth, God is offended by that. God is offended by that. We need to be men and women of righteousness who make a decision. We are not going to bow down to foreign women, foreign cars, internet garbage, addictions. What? As in, let's just go there. Let's talk about it. We want to get ready for an incredible year ahead, but we don't want to talk about reality. Let's just talk about reality. The truth shall set us free. Sometimes it's like, we want to worship God and just pretend all this stuff isn't in our trunk. If the junk is in the trunk, then we've got to get it out. We've got to do what we've got to do. We've got to come before God with honest and open hearts and get our lives sorted out. How many of you know I'm here to help? I'm here to help. That's the truth. I am actually here to help. All right. So some of us have got all this going on. For some it may be the women, the cars, the internet, the gossip, and the addiction. I don't know what it is. Here's the thing. The point isn't so much what the sin is that's crouching at the door to entangle us. It is simply recognizing that it's there and making a decision that it's not going to master us. That's the point. The point isn't so much what is the sin that you're dealing with. The point is, hang on a minute. I know it's there. I understand it's there. It's crouching at the door. It wants to master me, but I'm going to make a decision today. It's not going to master me anymore, but I'm going to master it in Jesus' name. I'm going to rise up and be the man of God, woman of God, God's calling me to be. So as we decide today that we're not going to join the likes of Solomon and all the others that are falling around us, as much as the decision is about deciding what we're not going to do in 2020, it's actually more about deciding what we will do in 2020. Everyone say 2020. That's it. While you're speaking, I'll get it. I'll drown myself. So it's not about deciding what we're not going to do as much as about deciding what we will do. What are we going to do in 2020? Sin is crouching at the door. Yes, it's crouching at all of our doors. Just so you know, don't go thinking you're a sinner because sin is crouching at your door. It's crouching at all of our doors. Having it crouch at your door doesn't make you a sinner. What you do when it's crouching at your door, that's what will lead you in or out of the presence of God. We need to be people who just simply recognize it is there, and we need to make some decisions. What did the Lord say to Cain in Genesis 4, verse 7? If you do what is right, if you do what is what?
Right.
Everyone say it?
Right.
If you do, how many of you know what is right? How many of you know what is right? I like this moment. I like this feeling. This is the feeling when the Holy Spirit is beginning to move. I know this. I know what's happening here. Because I asked that question, and I know you all know what is right. But many of you are hesitant to say yes. Because you're on the inside, there's a fight going on. Because you're realizing God's putting his finger on some things even as I'm sitting here. I feel uncomfortable. If you feel uncomfortable, praise the Lord. Because you're still hearing from God. When you no longer feel uncomfortable in the presence of God, that's when you've got an issue if you've got sin in your life. And just so we know, I'm not pointing my finger at anybody. I'm just coming with the word that I believe God would put in my heart because he wants you to win in 2020. He wants you to go where you've never been before, do what you've never done before, live like you've never lived before, receive what you've never received before. He wants you to win. He wants you to be a winner. Jesus is our winner man, and he wants you to be the winner man. That's the bottom line. God wants you to win. He loves you. He gave his one and only son and died on a cross for you. He wants it to go well with you. That's the point of this message. So he would send me into a room, and he would get me to labor on some things. Because like, now's the time. Now's the time. We're crossing over. I know it's not yet the last service of the year, but we're crossing over early. We're going there early. So what did the Lord say? If you do what is, let me ask you again, how many of you know what is right? You're still not going to play. You can sit there with your arms crossed, but I know you know what is right and you know what is wrong. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. But if I'm doing what is right, I'll be accepted. I will be accepted. And the sin that is at my door will quickly lose interest in me and fade away. It's like it says in Galatians 5 verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Always remember what Romans 8 verse 1 says. It's not in the notes, but just remember it. There is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation. What does that mean? It means if I've been doing the wrong thing, when I come to my senses and I repent and I come back to the Father and I ask in the name of Jesus, forgive me, Lord. How many of you know he will forgive you? He will be just and faithful to his word and to his son, and he is going to forgive you. But I say, walk by the Spirit, or you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. So now the focus of my doing has changed. My decision isn't as much about what I won't do as it is about what I'm going to commit to do. How many of you know you cannot change your past? You can't rewind it. Wouldn't it be good if we rewind it? I don't know about you. I would love to rewind some seasons in my life. I would just love to. I can't do that. But how many of you know I can decide today? As for me and my house, it doesn't. I can't go back. I can't rewind. I can't remove it. But I can come to the grace of God. Well, the grace of God might be found. And I can throw myself before him. And I can ask him, Lord, forgive me and help me now to live a life that is going to honor you. I can't change. I can't change. But my decision, as I've already said, isn't as much about what I'm not going to do as it is about what I am going to do. I can make my choice. When Joshua was faced with a day of decision, he had a day of decision. Every great man in the Bible had a day of decision. Jesus had many days, one after the other, after another, after another. For 33 years, he had days of decision. Joshua had a day of decision. David had days of decision. Joshua had a day of decision. We could go through all of them. Moses had days of decision. They all had days. Joshua, when his day of decision came, how many of you know your day of decision, it's not coming, but it's here. Your day of decision isn't the 31st of December as we step into 2020. Your day of decision is right here, right now. I promise you that the decision that you make right here, right now, will either set you up for 2020 or it's going to sweep you to the side. It's going to sweep you. It's like, are you for real? I'm for real. I'm for real. You don't think heaven watches every service? I know we're online, but how many of you know the angels are all peering over? How many of you know the Holy Spirit is here? This is probably heavier than I wanted it to go today. Last night was Christmas carols. It was joy to the world. Hallelujah. And today it's like, bah. But how many of you know a little bit of bah is good? You know what I think sometimes? I think we treat the Lord with contempt. We know what the Word of God says, but we think we're special. Special. It's like, I'm special. I got a special dispensation. I can do a little bit here and a little bit there, and the Lord's okay with it. He ain't okay with it. Joshua, when his day of decision came, he stood up and he made a decision. He made a decision. He made a declaration. And he made a dedication. He made this statement. He said, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Praise God for men. Where are the godly men of this generation that will take a stand and not look for the wife to lead? Can I encourage you, men? You lead. You're the man. God appointed you as the leader of your home. Now, girls, if you're a girl that gets upset with me saying that, I've got no problem with you getting upset, but don't come and talk to me. Don't come and talk to me about it. You say, why not? Because I'm just quoting Bible. The Bible says the man is the head of the house, even as Jesus is the head of the church. Men are meant to lead. I think sometimes our women want to demasculate our men, dethrone the guys, take their position. We wonder why the house is upside down. Be an encourager to your man. Come on, man of God. Rise up. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I tell you the truth, when you get men standing with their wives alongside of them, men, don't go pushing your wife behind you now. Remember where she came from. She's meant to be by your side. She came from the man's rib. That's where she's meant to be, right alongside of us. We're stepping together. She ain't behind you. She ain't there to be your servant. She's there to help you to be in the likeness of Christ. So, anyway, we leave it. When a man stands up, if you're a woman and you're a single woman, stand up and declare, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Every couple, stand up. As for us and our house, we will serve the Lord. Every man of God, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I love this because when the man of God stood up, he says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. How many of you know he was talking about in the natural? So he's talking about his family. As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. How many of you know, how many of you can see what happened? Immediately, all the other families, they all got on board. Well, if you're going to do that, we're going to do that too. What I love is when the courage of one rises, then it rises in the family and it rises in the nation. When the courage of the men and the women and the families rise up in the house of God, then the church can rise up to be what the church is meant to be. As for us and our house, as for me and my house, me and my family, we are going to serve the Lord. It was a declaration. It was a decision. It was a declaration. And it was a dedication, all in one. And if we will do the same, because we've made our decision, our life will get a whole lot easier, because now all of a sudden, the best of my life, the best of my time, my thinking and my energy will be going towards where it's meant to go. I've made my decision. As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. Now I'm no longer having to make a decision about the sin that's crouching at the door. The sin is crouching at the door. It's never going to go away. But my attention now is not at the sin crouching at my door. My attention is turned towards Jesus. My attention is towards the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm lifting up my eyes. My attention is going that way. And all of a sudden, all this just fades away. Fades away, fades away, fades away. If you've been here for any length of time, many years, you would have heard me say year after year after year, I'm believing for the best year of our life. I'm believing for the best year of our life, the best year of our life. I don't know what sort of year you've had, but I want to encourage you today, believe for the best year of your life. You might be like, Shane, you've said it 21 years in a row. Do you actually believe it? I told you right from the start, we have had 21 years in a row of growth. 21 years in a row of growth. Not because we're good, but because he's good. We don't rely on our goodness. We rely on his goodness. We rely on his word. And because we rely on it, we can turn our back on the sin that so easily entangles us, turn our life and our attention towards Jesus, and the future gets brighter and brighter and brighter until the full light of day. That's the promise of God right there. 21 years. I don't know what sort of year you've had. You might have come to church today and you're like, Shane, my year's been messed up. I'm messed up. My marriage is messed up. My children are messed up. My family's messed up. My finances are messed up. I'm messed up. Praise the Lord. Because finally you're admitting it. You're there. Just admit it. I'm there. It's all messed up. I messed it up. Good. Now you can talk about it. Now you can make a decision. Because you know that this has not worked. I did it my way. What a load of crock that is. What's that guy's name? Frank Sinatra. Let's all go burn our Frank Sinatra records. I did it my... Shut up, Frank. Shut up. Enough. Everyone wants to do it their own way. I don't want to do it my own way. I messed it up. Let's do it God's way. Let's do it God's way. Let's make a decision today. I'm not going to do it my way anymore. I'm going to do it God's way. I'm going to do it God's way. Let's make a choice. We can all do it. We can all do it. Maybe you've had a bad year. Maybe you've had a bad decade. Maybe it's all whatever. Make a decision today. Make a decision to repent. Close the door. If sin's been crouching at the door, maybe slipped in a bit, kick it, close it. Turn your eyes towards Jesus. Make a decision. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. I'm not going to give that any room in my life anymore. Yeah, I loved it. I turned my deaf ear toward God. I know I made a mistake. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm closing the door on that now. I'm turning my eyes and I'm turning my heart towards heaven. And I'm believing, Lord, from this day on, as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. Lord, I'm sorry I got it wrong, but as for me and my house, from this day, I decide we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, I'm making a declaration before heaven and before earth. 2020, Lord, you've got me. You've got all of me. I'm not going to play games anymore. One foot in, one foot out. The door a little bit open. Whoever can come. No. I'm closing the door. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. It's a decision, it's a declaration, and it's a dedication. Today, I'm dedicating myself back to God.